for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there.
Saturday afternoon, November the 26th, 1988. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the afternoon service. It's a deliverance teaching and deliverance service. And Irma and me, Glenn Miller, we will be speaking and teaching this afternoon.
With all the teaching we've had this weekend on the camel on the bride, I'm going to sing a song called The Camel Train. 'Twas a day in early springtime by an ancient wayside well. Eliezer stopped to rest his camel train. He had found a bride for Isaac ere the evening shadows fell, for his weary journey had not been in vain. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding. Our joy will soon begin in the evening when the camel train comes in. So we took the fair Rebecca dressed in jewels rich and rare back to Abraham and Isaac far away, where Rebecca loved her Isaac and he loved Rebecca fair. Oh, it must have been a happy wedding day. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding. Our joy will soon begin in the evening when the camel train comes in. Now the blessed Holy Spirit from the Father up above has come down to earth to find a worthy bride. For our Isaac over yonder has prepared his tents of love, and he wants his fair Rebecca by his side. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding. Our joy will soon begin in the evening when the camel train comes in. Oh, get ready, evening shadows fall. Don't you hear the Eliezer call? There's going to be a wedding. Our joy will soon begin in the evening when the camel train comes in. Amen.
This afternoon, Irma and I will be speaking, and I imagine it will be at least 5:30 before this service is over. If I were to talk on the subject that I'm going to talk on, to all that is involved in it, I would stand here until about 7 or 8 o'clock tonight. And then I don't know if I would be finished. But we are going to shortcut it and try to get through what I'm going to say in about somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour, I hope. And then Irma's going to come and teach for a while, and then we're going to take authority over that which we're going to teach about and pray and set the captives free in these areas. And believe that those who listen to these tapes will also have the same authority will be there to set the captives free that hear these tapes tomorrow or next year or 10 years from now, wherever they're played, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will come and set the captives free. I've had a lot of questions and all about the sins of our fathers, ancestral curses, and I've talked on this. It seems like lately almost every camp meeting, But it is a subject that is almost impossible to exhaust. And the more I look at it and see it and pray with people, the more I'm convinced that 90% or more of everybody's problems is inherited, and we have gotten it down through the ancestral line from our ancestors, and it has just reproduced itself in us. And we think that something we've done, maybe that's true. Maybe you have done some of these things and started these things down through the family line. But I'm almost convinced that these things have started many generations back in most of our families, and we are the recipients of the sins of our ancestors because God says so. Now, you say, how can that be? I got saved. Yes, you got saved, and I got saved, and we're being saved. We have not arrived. Paul said that he ran the race, hoping to receive the prize, to receive the prize. And the same is true with us today. We are running the race that we might receive the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. But Satan has taken advantage of every legal loophole that he can find, and he hangs on to it until it's taken away from him by the authority of the name of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus. And so this afternoon we're going to look at some of these things. We're not going by any means exhausted in any way. We're just going to look at some of the bases of it so that you'll understand, or I hope that you will understand. There, in my opinion, there are three types of curses. There's curses of people, curses of witchcraft, and then there's the curses that God says we're cursed by. We are cursed by what we say. I can be cursed by what I say. You can, or I can be cursed by what somebody else says against me or about me. I can be cursed. Then we are cursed by that which is done through witchcraft and sorcery. We are cursed or can be cursed by it. You say, how can that be? Well, it just is true. If you go back down to Belize and Central America and some of these other places where witchcraft is worked in that way, and in America it's getting to be where it's done also, you will find that it's true and that you have to stand against it in the authority and the power and the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus against these things. And then there's the curses that the Scripture says we're cursed by when we disobey or do not keep the word of the Lord. And so today, for my part, we're going to look at some of the things that we're cursed by because we have not, or our ancestors have not kept, or they have disobeyed the word of the Lord. So to start with, let's go over to Exodus chapter 19 and see what some of God's rules are in regard to these things. Exodus 19, and we will read verse 5. It says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, the Lord says that if we keep his covenant and obey his word, then we will be a peculiar people and a treasure unto the Lord. And that's what we need to desire to be. Chapter 20, across the page in my Bible, and says, now here's another thing. People say Moses said, that's Moses' law. No, that's not Moses' law. God told Moses, and Moses did what God said, so it's God's law. It's not Moses' law. That's a tradition of the elders and almost a heresy, a cop-out, so they don't have to obey God's word. But that doesn't change one thing. God's word still stands true. It says, I am the Lord thy God which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, or out of the land of sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, doing what? visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me or that do not obey my word. That's a more literal translation. Those that do not obey my word. But bless God for verse 6. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So, Lord, help us to be those who keep the commandments of the Lord so that we have His mercy showered upon us. Again in chapter 34, and verse 5 says, And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, Moses, there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him, Moses, and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. Iniquity is doing that which you know not to do, and you do it anyway. That's iniquity. And the Lord says that He forgiving iniquity, doing that which we know not to do, but do it anyway. Of the fathers, but visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. You say, oh, God wouldn't do that to my grandchildren or great-grandchildren. His word says that you don't change one dot or one tittle, that it shall stand forever and ever. And God said it. So that settles it. God said it. So if you want to argue, don't argue with me. You argue with God. Because He said it, I didn't. And again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 6, it says, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of sin and from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me and do not obey my word. And in the two or three witnesses, let it be established. So we've had two witnesses now. That God says He visits the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. Chapter 6, verse 1, says, Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them. Doesn't say that you want, would you like to do them, or if you want to, He says, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee. And today, we need the fear of God in relationship to the word of the Lord, that His word is sure, and we need to fear God and try and study to know His word and then to obey it. Thou and thy sons' sons all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. If we keep the word of the Lord, we're entitled to long life. And if any time you fall short of 70 years before you die, you've been cheated by the devil. Because God has guaranteed every person 70 years. And if you don't get 70 years, then you've been cheated. Because God guarantees us 70 years. And in my opinion, we are promised a minimum of 120. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Do it. Period. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. So the Lord says here that those that are involved in a bastard, it's a 10-generation curse. Now, who are the Ammonites and the Moabites? I'll tell you where the scripture is. I won't turn there because, but the scripture is in Genesis 19, 36 and 38. And they're the children of Lot by incest. So God says that incest is a 10-generation curse. And today, the nation is rampant and the nations of the earth with incest. And God says that there's a 10-generation curse pronounced upon all those who are participated in, are involved in incest. You're involved in a 10-generation curse down through the rest of your family for 400 approximate years. So we need to obey the word of the Lord so that these things can be not be visited upon us. We need to know to start with what the word of the Lord says so that we don't have to be delivered and set free from it later on in life. We need today to know what God says, and then we need to obey that word so that we don't have to have deliverance and be set free from these things. But it's necessary that we do be, that we are set free from the things that our fathers have gotten into. And I'm of the opinion that almost everybody living has an incest spirit in their life. Because who knows what 400 years, 10 generations back, you can't even tell me everything about your father and your mother. So what's 10 generations? So I'm of the opinion that everybody is under the curse of incest and needs deliverance from it in one way or another. Okay, now, here God says we're cursed for 3 and 4 generations and for 10 generations. And I don't know what all the curses are, but I know I'm aware of some 70-some curses in the Bible that God says you're cursed by and I'm cursed by because we have disobeyed His word or done something contrary. That there are 70-some curses that God says we're under. Now, there may be more than that, that I'm not aware of, but I'm aware of approximately that many. So, let's try now to look at a few of these, just a few of them, and see where we come. Let's go back to the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, and we will start back here with this. Now, I could stop and tell you how we learned about the curse of incest. We learned about it by an experience we had. And then we found it in the Bible afterwards. How we learned about the curse of eating blood and fat. We learned about it by an experience we had. Then we found it in the Bible afterwards. So isn't that strange? Read the Bible for years. Born and raised in Pentecost. Been to a Pentecostal Bible school. And yet read over these things and didn't even see them. But read them many, many times. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're destroyed for lack of understanding. We're destroyed because the Word of the Lord hasn't become a living reality within us. The Word of the Lord needs to become a living reality within you and me. And then when we go through these things, they'll jump out at us and we'll see them. We'll say, oh my goodness, Lord, forgive me. Help me, Lord. And we'll see the area that we or someone's got involved or we've been involved in, and we'll see that what the Word of the Lord says, and then we'll be able to come to Jesus and through His Word and through the blood and the areas that's provided for us, that we can be set free from these areas of our life that we find in the Scripture that we're bound by. Well, the spirit of incest, I'm not going to take time, but to explain all of it. But we ran across a young lady one time when we were having a meeting over in Tulsa with some of the Bible students over there, and this young lady started saying, I can't, and Irma went to pray with her, and the essence of it was that she couldn't go home for Thanksgiving because if she did, her mother would molest her. And her mother was spirit-filled woman. Come to find out that she had a sister and two brothers, and her mother had been molesting them ever since almost she could remember. And she just couldn't, and she couldn't tell it, but she finally told us, and the Lord set her free. We broke the curse over and set her free from it, and told her that to go on home and be a testimony to her mother, but not allow it to ever happen for her to stand and take her stand. So that's how we come about incest. And then we begin to hear about it everywhere. And we've had all kinds of cases here of incest that we've prayed with. Then we come to the understanding about eating, that we're cursed of eating blood and fat, and that it's one of the causes of sickness in your physical body. I'm not saying it's the only cause. We found out that it was, at this particular instance, was a cause of sugar diabetes in a family line. I was teaching on the blood of the Lord Jesus and teaching that the different aspects of the blood, and that there are five aspects of the blood of Jesus that there's biblical background for, and I was teaching on that, and when I did, why the Lord revealed to a person in the audience that they had sugar diabetes in their family line because their family had made blood sausage and blood pudding, contrary to the Word of God. And we prayed for them, and the Lord delivered them. Now, I'm not saying that sugar diabetes, that's the only cause. There may be other reasons for it, but that was the cause for it in that particular instance. And I was, my purpose, I was, didn't even know, realize that I had read the verse about that. I was reading about the sprinkling of the blood, washing of the blood, applying of the blood, and teaching that the saying that the Pentecostals use, "I plead the blood," is not scriptural, and Satan doesn't have to honor it, but God's been gracious to us and allowed it to be successful. But there's no scriptural basis for the statement, "I plead the blood." The blood is freely given. It's a gift from God, and you don't plead for a gift. It's yours to have and to use for the glory of God. And but anyway, that's how that came to pass. Well, let's look on here. Chapter 7, verse 25 says, "The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." Now, Irma was mentioning here about the young lady that they came to visit us Thanksgiving Day, and from Denver, and the young lady who weighed 68 pounds, and the Lord had pressed Irma to stop and go pray for her. And it's through that instance and through that happening that the Lord showed us not to bring an abominable thing into your house. And if the Lord spoke through Irma, and she heard herself say that these things you've got in your house is what's making you sick, and you need to get them out of your house. And when she cleaned her house and got rid of them, the Lord healed her of cancer, and she was here Thanksgiving, and that happened either 9 or 10 years ago, and not another trace of it, and they'd given her up to die and said there was nothing else they could do for her, and she was going to die. God healed her and raised her up. And through that instance, God taught us the thing about don't bring an accursed thing into your house. Now, if you want to know what they are, there's 2 or 3 chapters in the Bible that gives a list of the accursed things you're not to bring in your house. And some of them you're going to find that you got in your icebox. And you're not going to like it when you get there, and you're going to try to find scriptures to take it out of your house, find scriptures so you can keep it in your house. But you're twisting the scripture, because the scriptures that you're going to use to try and keep it in your house does not apply to the way you're trying to make it work. And we found this out not because we wanted to or because we liked to. We found it because God, by a sovereign act of his divine wisdom, brought these things to us and showed them to us. And then we came to an understanding, not because somebody taught us or told us, but because of what God did. So you can't argue. You can argue with God all you want, with anybody else, but you can't argue with Irma and I, because God did it by sovereign act, and through that we stand on his word, and we declare that you're not to bring an accursed thing into your house, lest you become an accursed like it. Okay. So God says those things you're cursed with if you bring them in your house. So let's go on. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Let's see here. Yes, Deuteronomy 23. No, we've already been through that one. Let's see. We want to go to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18. And we're going to look at some things here. We're just going to touch on this here in 18, just to show you a point. I'll pick, for instance, verse 13. I'll just pick that one, for instance. "Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman." That says, "You shall not." While we're there, I'll also take verse 19, because I want to show you that. "Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness." Let's go over to Leviticus 20. I'll pick verse 6 out of this. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Verse 10 says, and the man that commits adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, notice what, let me see, I want to read another verse here somewhere, just to show you. In the mouth of at least two witnesses, let it be established. Verse 18, we'll read here. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Now, you notice in Leviticus 18, we read, it says, you shall not. The Lord says, you shall not. Now we come over here to Leviticus 20, and we read some of the same things over again. And here it says that you shall be put to death or you will be cut off. So God has increased his penalty. Now, when we get to Leviticus 20, it says you'll be put, you're to be put to death or you'll be cut off. Now, the Lord's got a lot of ways to cut you off. You don't have to just be killed to be cut off. But you can get cancer or some other disease, and you can die with it. So you're cut off before your time. And this verse about the time of the woman's period, we have found that a lot of female problems and problems of prostate problems, the root cause of it goes back to disobeying these two scriptures that I read about the time of a woman's menstrual period. God says you shan't do it. Well, I've read that all my life. And never did I mean a thing to me until we ran across in cases where we prayed with people with these problems. And God showed us in the Word that there he said, you shall not. And he said, if you do, you'll be cut off. Cut off, you got prostate trouble, you got female problems, because you've disobeyed, or we've disobeyed, the Word of the Lord. We need to come to a right understanding and knowledge and dividing of the Word of the Lord and apply it to my heart and to my life and you to your life, that we sin not against the Lord, so that we are a righteous and a holy people before the Lord. Let's see. Chapter 20, I want to read, back up and read verse 7, because it applies to what I just said. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. Again, he doesn't say, well, do you want to? Do you like to? He says, keep them, do them. He says, I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. So if we want the Lord to sanctify us, we want to have good health and all of that, then the Lord says, obey my word and you will have it. He said, I'll sanctify you. Okay, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy 27. And we're going to look here. We'll start with verse 15 of this 27th chapter. And I'll make a remark as to my understanding here as we go. My understanding is we're going to read a fourth, third, and fourth generation curse here in this 15th verse. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. The Lord says you're cursed if you do that. Now, in my understanding, as I've studied, I find that all the sexual sins are 10-generation curses. And all the others are a three and four generation curse. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. All the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and all the people shall say, amen. The Lord says, you're cursed. We need to We need to look at that and be serious about what we're hearing. God said you curse. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife. 10-generation curse. Incest. Because he uncovered his father's skirt, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. Bestiality. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, the daughter of his mother. 10-generation curse. And it always amazes me when I read that verse, how the Lord put that together so that that little short verse covers up a half-sister or a half-brother. See? Incest. Not to marry, or have sexual relations. And most of the states have a law that a second cousin, you can't marry. Because it wasn't because God said so, however that may have been the basis to start it, but it's because of mental problems and such that develop. Our strain of life has gotten down to where it's so mixed up that it's just not pure, and it causes mental problems and that in the children. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say amen. And notice what 26 says. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people said amen. Okay, chapter 28, we find this carries on. We'll start with verse 14. It says, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now people say, well, that's all done away with. That's law. The 10 commandments done away with? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Are they done away with? Neither is this done away with. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field, and cursed shalt thou be in the basket and in thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. This is what's going to happen if we don't keep these things. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me, or you have not obeyed and kept my word. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until you perish. And the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain in thy land powder and dust, and from heaven it shall come down upon thee until thou shalt be destroyed. And the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee 7 ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, and thy carcass shall be meat for all the fowls of the air. Boy, this is horrible. And all of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. And the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods. Emrods are piles, botch is the itch, and with the scab, and with the itch, and whereas thou canst not be healed. We haven't found any cure for cancer yet. The Lord says you can't be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and with blindness, and today we've got all kinds of mental problems. Madness, mental problems. Blindness, eye problems. Astonishment of heart trouble. Says, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in the darkness. Okay, verse 45 I want to pick up here. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice or the word of the Lord thy God,
to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded or commands us to do. Well, that's weighing it on pretty heavy, isn't it? But the word of the Lord is a guide and a path to us if we'll follow it. And it'll bring us life and health and strength and ale and all that we need if we obey and follow the word of the Lord. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 48. And I want to read one there. And this one is to all of us, and especially to the ministry. Verse 10. Jeremiah 48 and verse 10. It says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully." That doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. "And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." The coward. The coward is cursed, and he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully, for a deceitful reason. You can judge that for yourself, if that's ever gone on in the nation. Let's go over to Malachi, chapter 1. Verse 14 of Malachi 1 says, "Cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing, for I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. The fear of the Lord amongst his people and amongst the heathen. But what does it say here? Somebody took a sheep or a cow or 10 acres of corn or something, or wheat, and they dedicated it to the Lord. And after the cow or the calf grew up or the sheep got up to size, well, it was just the best one they had in the flock. So instead of taking the one that they marked for God to give to God, they took another one over here and gave it to God. The 10 acres that they set aside for the Lord, or whatever it was, the best 10 acres they had, so they give God the 10 acres over there on the hillside that was kind of dry and didn't grow up as well as the 10 acres down in the bottom was. God says you're cursed. You've done deceitful. You've made a vow, and then you changed the vow, and you're cursed for it. God says what you gave to him is his, and you don't change it. Lord, help us all. It's better that you never vowed a vow, and it's much better than that you don't keep the vow after you vow it. Okay, chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Even from the days of your fathers you are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Praise you, Jesus." Help us, Lord, to return and keep you and obey your word and to hide it in our hearts. Saith the Lord of hosts, "Which you said, wherein shall we return? Says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In your tithes and offerings." And what's happened? You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even the whole nation has. And that is true. The nation, the most blessed nation on the face of the earth, and this nation, has robbed God of that which is his. Spend more on chewing gum in this nation than goes to support the missions around the world. Spend more for chewing gum in this nation than what's given to support the mission fields of the world. And then we wonder why there's problems in the nation. The nation is cursed, and God's judgment is upon it. God's judgment is coming; will come to pass, for God's word is sure. Okay, chapter 2 of Malachi. Let's go back over here and read verse 1 and 2. It says, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart." And then, verse 6, chapter 3 says, Malachi says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." In other words, except for the mercy of God, we should all be consumed. But by his mercy, we're not. But the Lord says, I change not. So, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. Says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, and Jesus is his name, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long countenance, and sore sickness, and of long countenance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, the land of sin, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee also. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed. So, the things that they don't know where they came from and they're new, God says, it's all covered right there. Every sickness or thing that's not written in this book, God says that he'll bring upon you. So I think the plague of AIDS is one of those that's not written in this book, and it's from God, and God has sent it because of the abomination in the land of homosexuality and lesbianism and all that goes with it, and abortion and all. The scripture says that you shall not cause your son or your daughter to pass through the fire, and today I apply that to abortion. In those days, they sacrificed them to the fire. Today, it's done with abortion. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy 12, 28 says, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever. When thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land.
Take heed that thou beest not snared by following them.
That thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do also. People today want to study the Eastern religions. Or they want to study some of the cults or things, so they know how they are. What's God say about it right there? He said, you're not to study it. You don't need to know. Study his word. So you know his word. But he says right here that you're not to find out to inquire after their gods. And when you study these things, that's what you're doing. You're inquiring after their gods. And God says you're not to do it. You don't need to know. You'll find out all you need to know about it praying with people, getting them out of it. You'll find out all you need to know. You don't need to go study it. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burned in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. And we pick that up again in the 22nd chapter of Revelations. We pick that up again. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? We sing that. That's, of course, we sing. But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that is therein. Only the Lord hath a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you, above all the people, as it is this day. So the Lord requires us to fear the Lord our God. And it says here, in a verse that I already read, the 28th verse of the 11th chapter, it says, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. And I want to go back to Revelations 22 and see what it says there. This is not two books. This is one book. This is one book with many divisions, and one major division, old and new, but it's all one book. And Jesus lived, taught, and everything he done was under what is known as the Old Testament. There was no new, so-called New Testament until almost 70 years after Jesus was gone. So you say that Jesus, well, Jesus taught and walked the Old Testament and was a fulfillment of it. And the law that he fulfilled was the law of the sacrifices. He did away with them. And the veil of the temple was rent. And the law of sacrifices was completed and finished. And God, through Jesus Christ, did away with the laws of sacrifice. But thou shalt not kill, and all the rest of it still applies today. Jesus did not nullify thou shalt not kill. And neither did he nullify the rest of them. But he did nullify all the laws of the sacrifice. He did away with all of them because he was the perfect fulfillment of all the sacrifices that you and I might come by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus to have remission of our sins and then through the name of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit to be set free from the things that bind us and cause us to cause us problems that we have inherited either from our ancestors or because of our own sins, the torments that we have, we can be set free through the name of Jesus. For Jesus said, in my name thou shalt cast out devils and set the captives free and raise the dead and heal the sick. And that's a commandment to give unto every one of us. And we're to go and we're to do it. Whether you see any results or not, that's none of your business. You just do it. And God will take care of the rest. I am required and you are required to do the word of the Lord. And if we see no results, you're to do it tomorrow all over again. And if you see no results, you're to do it as long as you live. If you never see any results, you're still to do it. God's responsible, not you and me. But we are responsible to do that which we're told to do. He said, you go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow those that believe. And we are believers. So in the name of Jesus, we'll lay hands on the sick and we'll anoint him with oil and we'll pray for him. We'll pray, we'll cast out devils and we'll raise the dead if it comes to that place. We'll lay our hands on them. Whether they raise or not, we'll do what God said. And then we'll be a fool for Jesus. Amen. That's all we're called to do. Hallelujah. Well, What does John write over here that Jesus tells him? Revelations 22. Well, I'll start with verse 11. Verse 14 is my verse, but I'm going to read verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. If you don't want the Lord, don't waste your time. Don't bother. Because except the Spirit of the Lord call them, they can't come. So if when the Spirit of the Lord works, then you be responsible. You can tell them, and then the Lord can work with them. You can pray for them. But he says here, he that's unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that's that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. To give every man according to his works shall he be. I thought it was all grace. It says there's got to be some works. Salvation is free. The Holy Spirit is free. Healing and deliverance is free. But the rest of it, you got to work for it. You got to work for it. Paul said he ran the race. He had to work to run the race. He didn't sit down. He had to get up and go. And we've got to get up and put some go with what we do. We've got to run the race. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are they that do his commandments. So if we want to be blessed of the Lord, we're to do his commandments. John chapter 3, you all know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him would not perish, would have everlasting life. Is all the world saved? No. Will all the world be saved? No. Well, that's funny. The Scripture says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, what does it say? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you have to believe on the Lord Jesus for salvation. You have to apply and appropriate Calvary and the blood of Calvary for remission of sins. That you can come and before the Lord and be cleansed of your sins. What about the curses? What does Galatians 3 and 13 say? It says that Jesus became a curse so that I don't have to bear the curse. So, God so loved the world that the world could all be saved. Is the world saved? No. The same is true of Jesus becoming a curse so you and I don't have to bear the curse. The curse is not broken off of us. God is sovereign, and God delivers people. I've seen people that were alcoholics and drug addicts and all kinds of things, different things. When they got saved and they got delivered. But I've seen other people that didn't. And they've had to come to a place before the Lord and cry before the Lord and repent before the Lord to be delivered and set free of alcohol or drugs or something else after they were saved. Say, why? Don't ask me. God's God. I'm not here to try and say why one was and one wasn't. God's God. So, but he does give us, he gives us a way in the Word. He said that Jesus became a curse. So we have to apply and appropriate the fact that Jesus became that curse to break the power of these curses off of us. Now, there's a lot of us that are under curses. Then you just think it's a way of life, and you don't have any idea that you're under. And I'm probably under a lot of things that I have no idea of yet. And all of us, we're not perfect yet, because if we were, when we walked down the street, the demons would cry out around the neighborhood when we walked down the street. They'd cry out and say, have mercy on us, if we were at that place. So we come and take authority over the ancestral curses. According to Galatians 3:13, we break the dominion of them, the inherited curses, the familiar spirits of sickness and disease that's come down through the family line, and we break the dominion and the power of them in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray. You know, Daniel of old, he came before the Lord. And how did he pray? He prayed for his sins and the sins of his fathers, and the sins of the nation. And we need to do that also. And so I'm going to pray for us now. I'm going to pray for the curse of the sins of our fathers and our own sins that we've gotten under, that we're cursed by God because of these areas of our lives. And then Irma's going to come and teach. And then when she's through, we're going to take and go down a list of items and cause. We won't touch everything. We'll just go through. And believe that that then if there's other things, if you think of something, you call it out. When we're going, if you think of something, if the Lord brings something to your mind, you call it out. And the Lord will hear you just as same, no different. He'll hear your prayer just the same as mine being prayed up here. He's no respecter of persons. I don't have any corner on anything. And anymore, you can come up here and pray just as well as I can. You have the same authority in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, he gives unto us the authority to use his name in my name, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we're going to do that. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I come in the name that's above every name, that name to which you've given us authority and dominion over all the powers of Satan and over sickness and disease. And that name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is his name. Father, I thank you for that dominion that you've given us. Now this afternoon, according to Galatians 3:13, I come in behalf of the curses that's visited down upon us because your word says so. If we've done this or our ancestors have done this, your word says that these curses are visited upon us. And this afternoon, according to Galatians 3:13, it is written that Jesus became a curse so that these curses can be broken and we don't have to bear the curses. I stand as a priest and take authority over the curses of our ancestors. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind and break the power of the curses of our ancestors that's come down through the family lines for 10 and 20 and 30 generations where it has been repeated. And I break the dominion of it off of these people, and I loose them from it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. And I put the blood to separate and to wash and to cleanse and to take the power and rights of Satan away. And Satan, I take your rights away by the blood of the Lord Jesus and the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I break the demonic powers, and I take your rights away, and I loose us from your power in the name of Jesus. And I bind your dominion, and I break your power over us in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for it, and I bind every foul spirit. I bind every familiar spirit of sickness and disease, and I bind them to the day of judgment. And Father, I ask for the angels of the Lord to come this afternoon and bind them up and take them and keep them till Jesus shall judge them at the day of judgment. And I thank you for that dominion and authority you've given us in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to stay right in the Spirit.
Holy Spirit's hovering down over us. This past week, the Lord showed me something new in the Word. Now, I read the Word a lot, but probably not as much as I should, but I read it. I've read it since I was 10 years old. But every once in a while, something jumps out, and we see something that we haven't ever seen before. And it was in the morning prayer meeting, and I just opened my Bible. It fell open, and it was a Bible that some lady had given it to us a long time ago, a large print. And it was all marked when it fell open to Proverbs. And you can turn to Proverbs 13, and I'm going to tell you what the Lord showed me if we refuse instruction. Now, Glenn has been giving us instruction, hasn't he? From the Word of God. And there's lots of instructions in the Word of God that we need to pay attention to. And every once in a while, you'll come up with something that you haven't heard about before, and then you have to study it. And this is the scripture he gave me, or I read, and then I started pondering on it when I got home, especially in the night. He would bring this back to me, and if you've been tuned in, you have heard Brother Garner talk about it. You have heard Brother Tommy talk about it in a different sort of way, but it's all part of what this scripture is. Do you know why you come to poverty and shame? In the 18th verse, it'll tell you. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. That refuseth instruction. Now, what is instruction? It's really teaching, isn't it? Someone teaches you something, they instruct you. But he that regardeth reproof or correction shall be honored. Now, Glenn read you quite a bit of things. A lot of things. You can veer off from all these things and study at home for yourself, and you get so much more. Or you can get... listen to the tape and write down all the scriptures if you didn't get them. And then, but I would wake up in the night and the Holy Spirit would speak to me, instruction, instruction. Well, I finally got out Strong's and I started looking it up. Now, I'm only going to read you a few scriptures because there's all kinds of them. But I'm only going to take you into Proverbs. And we did this upstairs a little bit yesterday, and I'm going to read it a little more today, and then we're going into some other kind of deliverance. But when we understand something, you know, most of the time, all of these things that we have got ourselves into, it's because of our ignorance, because we haven't been taught. We've been taught nice things in the Bible, but we haven't always been taught all the things. And then I was taught that we just pay attention to the New Testament. The Old Testament is for that old time. So we need to take everything in consideration. Now, I'm going to, if you want to try to follow me, I'm going to skip around, but I'm going to start at Proverbs 1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon. He says, to know wisdom and instruction. If you circle the word instruction on every verse, and then you can go back if you got a red pencil or something. Instruction to perceive the words of understanding. to receive the instruction of wisdom, and everybody has a measure of wisdom that God gave you free. It depends on what you do with it, with that wisdom that you were born with. In modern talk, we would say common sense. He gave us all common sense. We know that he's our protector, but I always say I don't go out there and walk in front of a Mack truck. That's common sense not to do that, isn't it? And that's wisdom. And we're born with wisdom that the Lord gives us. Then we have to add to it justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase his learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Some people want counsel, but they never really pay any attention much to it. Brother Moody can tell you that, and we can tell you by... I'm not too much for Christian counseling or religious counseling, really. I'm for the Holy Ghost to move through and counsel us. He says he will teach us. And he teaches us, where does the Holy Spirit abide? He doesn't walk around through here. He walks around through here in you and in me. So we can learn from each other, and we can profit by listening to the apostles and the prophets and pastors, teachers, and evangelists. That's what they were sent to us, to perfect us. Go down to 7. The fear of the Lord, and that is so lacking in the body of Christ. Nobody is really afraid of God like they should have the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, but it's also a lot of other things. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Well, that's very good teaching if the father and the mother know the Lord. But if they don't, then that's a sad thing. Now, turn over the page. Well, I turned over my page. You don't have to if it's not coming up. But the 23rd verse, turn you at my reproof or my correction. I will pour out my spirit unto you. And listen, I will make known my words unto you. The voice of the Lord talking to you. You'll hear that still, small voice, and he will teach you about things. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called. Now listen to this. This is scary. We should be fearful of this. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. Well, I've heard people say, don't pay attention to that. I don't believe that anyway. It's in the Bible, but I don't think we have to pay attention to that this day and age. You ever hear about that, Brother Golden? People saying they don't have to pay attention to something in the Bible? But we do. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You wouldn't have any of my correction. You don't want to be corrected? You don't want to follow any correction? Then the Lord says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Have you ever seen people go down to death's door and then they call on the preacher and everybody to start praying for them? They've denied God. They just live like they please. When they get down to where they're going to go into eternity, then they start calling on the Lord. But I don't want it like that, do you? No, we want to live happily right now. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. And God says, I will not answer. He hears us, but he doesn't have to answer all of our prayers. Because he says, I'm not going to answer you when calamity comes. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They wouldn't have any of my counsel. They despised all my correction. Therefore shall they eat of the fruits of their own ways. Whatsoever we sow, what? What is it? We shall also reap. If we sow bad seeds, we're going to have to reap them. The harvest is as sure as the sun coming up in the morning and going down in the evening. When we sow seeds, we're going to get a harvest. If we sow bad seeds, we're going to get a bad harvest within us. Now let's go to... Well, this is an interesting verse, the second chapter, 21st verse. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Isn't that interesting? But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Isn't that an interesting scripture? It doesn't sound like we're going to go flying away anywhere very soon, does it? It says we're going to dwell. If we're upright, we're going to dwell on the earth. But the wicked's not going to be here. They're going to be cut off. Now I'll go to the fourth chapter. It says here, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. It is a sad thing in this day and age because so many children do not have fathers that care anything about them or that want to train them or teach them. It is pathetic. And you can tell the families where the fathers have paid attention to the children, there is something different about those children. There is, isn't there? And so all you young people coming up and get married and have children, and you've lived a Christian life, you're going to see that your children will be different. Now, let's go to the fourth verse. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. There's longevity for you. Keeping the commandments like Glenn taught. He didn't read this scripture, but it's a good one. Get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Seventh verse, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Get understanding. Now, wisdom is one. Jesus is the spirit of wisdom, isn't he? And so it's really talking about when you see wisdom, that means one of the seven spirits of God, one of the attributes of Jesus, is the spirit of wisdom. All right. Go to the fourth chapter and the 13th verse. Take fast hold of instruction, let her go, keep her, for let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Instruction. What would all of us be if we hadn't taken instruction from our teachers when we started the school? We would be illiterate, wouldn't we? And if we don't take instruction from the Holy Ghost, we are stunted, we are illiterate. We don't know how to lead anybody to the Lord. If something major happens, you have to call for the preacher to come and pray because you haven't practiced prayer. Listen, the Lord wants us to grow up. He wants us to become overcomers. And if you read the Bible and circle all the things about the overcomers, they're the ones that's going to get all the rewards. I want to be in that troop. I want to be in that remnant or whatever he was talking about, the good remnants and the bad remnants. I want to be in the remnant, or I want to be in the overcomer group. Don't you? And we can overcome these things, but we have to search the Word ourselves. And you get out of the church, but then you go home and you search this out and get your concordance out and look up everything. I think that it would be very good if you get your concordance out and look up everything on instruction, because I was just shocked. I've never done that before. And there's so much in Proverbs, but it's all over. The instruction of the Lord. Now, we're going to go into something else, because there's many people that have come to us and they need help badly in the abominable things. You want to know what's abominable in your icebox, well, read your Bible and look up everything abominable, and you'll see what's in your icebox. And God says another thing that's an abomination to him is if we consult other gods or try to find out the future. Now, how do we try to find out the future? What do we have all around us where the enemy is pell-mell? We try to find out, I don't mean we, but people try to find out the future, who they're going to marry, what's going to happen to them. They go to fortune tellers. They get their palms read. They read astrology books. They read horoscopes. They go to all ends trying to find out. If you read the Word of God, you would find out. what the future is. Our future is tremendous. There's a light shining bright. And we may have trials, we may have tribulation, but it says don't consult in Deuteronomy 18. Don't be consulting with familiar spirits or mediums, possessed with a spirit guide or a wizard or a clairvoyant or a psychic or a necromancy. That's talking to the dead. If you've been a Catholic, praying to dead saints is necromancy, isn't it, brother? And you need to be delivered from that. And praying to Mary, mediums who consult the dead, or people who pray or talk to the dead. There are many ladies that I have heard of, even lately, that their husbands have died, and they go out to the cemetery and they talk to their husbands to get advice. Well, there's a spirit out there that makes them think that it's their husband, but it's not their husband. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Now, that's pretty serious, isn't it? We don't want to be doing anything that's an abomination to the Lord. And one of the main things that people get into is reading things they have no business reading. And people who have read a lot of Jehovah's Witness books, or any Jehovah's Witness books, are they take them at the door because they want to be nice, and they don't want to offend those people that are passing them out, and they take them in their house, and they bring the abomination right into their house, and they bring a curse from God upon their home. There are many other things. The way I get rid of Jehovah's Witnesses when they come, I say, oh, yes, I believe in Jehovah God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I said, I think we ought to pray. I ought to pray with you, pray together with you. And I said, now, I pray in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you do or not. And let's just start praying. I begin to pray in the Spirit in tongues. And when I finish, they are going up the road. I have not said anything with my mouth that has offended them, have I? I have probably frightened them. But we used to have them come into the camp all the time. I don't think they've been in here lately. Well, bless them, Lord, and help them. Yeah, but all those people that get into this false Rosicrucianist, that's reincarnation. If all kinds of people come here that have studied that and are in sickness and in trouble, under curses. Spiritualist meetings, Mormons, Christian Scientists, Unity books, they give them away free, you know, and they hand them out to you. Don't read them, just burn them.
Okay.
Theosophy, Inner Peace Movement, Research for Enlightenment. It's all a cult. Religious Research Foundation of America, Unitarians, Scientology. We've had cases of Scientology. That is a wicked spirit. It drives people totally insane. We've had it right in this city. One of the most famous lady doctors, chiropractor, spirit-filled, played the organ at one of the big Pentecostal churches, sang, and some of her customers got her involved with Scientology. She has lost her mind, and she's in a mental hospital, and this is the third year, I believe, she's been there. And she was the most beautiful Christian and saint. She was wonderful. And in a spur of the moment, or sometime when her fences were down, this man gave her this Scientology book, and she began to get interested in it, and she began to go to Houston to learn about it. And people have gotten into silver mine control and Ekencar. We had a doctor's wife come here, and she had a gun in her purse. She came up here, and she sat right there on the altar and had me praying for her. And she said, I'm going to kill my husband when I get home. I said, oh, no, you don't want to do that. I said, what good's that going to do? Well, her reason was so stupid. It's because he watched Hee-Haw on TV when he got home from work, and she thought he was in love with one of the girls. Now, you see, that's a stupid thought. She was a pretty girl, nice, young housewife, beautiful, had everything in the world, and yet this, she studied the second car, mind travel, and I don't know what it is. I don't want to know what it is, but it has something to do with the mind to make you go crazy. And she had that gun in her purse, and she opened the purse, and we had some experiences around here that I wasn't prepared for when I came here 14 years ago, but nevertheless, you have to depend on the Lord to help you. She opened that purse, and there was that gun in there. She said, I'm going to go home and kill my husband. And we prayed with her to great length, but she really didn't want to change her mind, and she didn't want to give up that Ekinkar doctrine. And a few weeks later, she wrote me a letter and said, I decided not to kill him. And I thought, well, praise God for that. Because I told her, you'll just have to go to prison. What good? He'll be dead. Your finances will be cut off. And what good is that going to do you? And, you know, when I got married, it was for better or for worse. 47 years ago. And it's been worse and it's been better. And it's been wonderful. No marriage. It isn't easy to live and be in total harmony in a marriage unless Jesus helps you, is it? It takes Jesus. Now, silver mind control. We've had people involved in that. And you can pray with them, and they're just, you know, like a wall. Unless they really want to denounce it and give it up. When you get so mad at the enemy for deceiving you, and that you really want to get rid of him and get it out of you, the Lord's going to hear you, and he's going to deliver you. He says, whoever calls on me. But, you know, we have to forsake our sins, don't we? We have to forsake these things. We had some books in our house, and Brother Derek Prince, when he came to our house, we had a whole collection of Bibles. We had a Jehovah's Witness Bible. We didn't know anything was really wrong with it. This was early 70s, I guess. Right? We had a Mormon Bible. We had a Joseph Smith book, didn't we? We had a nice row of Bibles there. I never looked at the Mormon Bible or the Jehovah's Witness Bible. It didn't really interest me, but it was there, and it was bringing evil spirits into our house. Oh, yeah, we had Gene Dixon's book, The Gift of Prophecy. And I don't know what all. He had a burning in our fireplace, and we had to have the house painted afterwards because it smoked it up so bad. But praise God, we got all the better. Anything that's going to help in the spiritual realm, let's get, and in the physical too, let's get better. Another thing is Masons. A lot of men belong to the Masonic Lodge. A lot of women belong to the Eastern Star. A lot of women, girls belong to the Rainbow Girls, right? And the Demolays, boys. All of that is a secret organization and is not of God. And it's an Antichrist spirit. It takes the place of the Word of God, and they study those books. And we've had many experiences with Masonic, people praying for Masonic that's been in the Masons. And even myself, I had to be delivered. And I'd never been in the Eastern Star, and I'd never been in the Masons. But you know what? My grandmother and grandfather were. And it came down on me, see? And somebody came here and called one Saturday morning and said, I'd like to come and be delivered from a spirit of masonry. So I said, oh, fine. I thought, well, that's going to be easy. Some cases are not easy. But I thought that was going to be an easy one. Well, we began to pray. And the minute we began to pray, something throttled my throat, and I was choking and rising, and I couldn't cough, couldn't pray, couldn't breathe. That thing was cutting me off. Am I cutting myself off? And I said, stop. You better pray for me first, because this is on me. And we had a very, not a funny thing happen, but a very enlightening happening again. We come by the word of our testimony, don't we? And the blood of the Lamb. And my mother died in 1976, and my dad remarried sometime around, I don't know what when, but he married a lovely lady. But he's been an Assembly of God preacher for almost 50 years, and he wrote and told me, I'm going if you don't care, he said, I'm going to marry so-and-so, and she belongs to the Church of Christ. If you don't care. And I first thought, oh, my, how could he do that? But then I sort of simmered down, and I wrote him back, and I said, well, I guess it will be all right with me. I'm not going to tell you what to do. And I said, but I believe you ought to make a will for my brother and I. And he wrote back and said, no problem, no problem at all. And so he would bring her down here, and she was very receptive to the Lord. She's a sweet person. She's a little tiny thing, about this tall, about that tall. And she had been a nurse in the pediatric ward at Blessing Hospital for 30 years or something. And they weren't youngsters. They were way up in their 70s. And my dad would say, pray her through to the Holy Spirit. Well, anybody that's been in these organizations usually have no fluency of tongues at all. They're just held captive. They cannot pray in the Spirit. So I would pray for her. But I'd do everything I knew to do it. It was like praying for a stick. She never responded at all. She wanted the Holy Spirit. She really did. But nothing would happen. Now, I couldn't figure out why. Why is this? And, you know, my father died first. And the lawyer read the will to us. And the only thing that she gave us was two Assembly of God $1,000 policies, one for my brother and one for me. And I thought something about it. I thought, oh dear, how could that be? And I never said anything. About 6 months after my dad died, she comes down here. And I was teaching on Saturday night, and I was on the Masons and the Eastern Star and these organizations, little knowing that she was one. So we had three girls here, I think from ORU or someplace, that were wanting deliverance. And so I gave an altar call, and those three came up, and she came up. And when she came up, I was a little surprised. And I said to her, what do you want Jesus to do for you, Wilma? And she said, I'd like to be delivered from the Eastern Star. And I said, oh, as I almost fainted in a dead faint, I said, oh, all right. And so we began to pray. When we began to pray, action began to happen. Talk about signs following. This thing in her turned into like a wolf. Her face looked like a wolf. She began to snarl and bark and run her mouth right up my arm like she's going to eat my arm off. And when the Lord gives me experiences, nobody can talk me out of it. I'm from Missouri, you know. I was born in Missouri, and I have to be shown. And the whole congregation saw it. Everybody saw it. But you don't fear the devil. He's afraid of you, really. And he came out of her. And we prayed for the other girls. And then we said, now we'd like to pray the Holy Spirit into everybody where this vacuum is gone out. So I said, Wilma, would you like the Holy Spirit prayed into you again? So as the word says, we laid hands on her. We administered the power of the Holy Ghost to come into her. And all of a sudden, she put her hands up and prayed in the most beautiful language. Now, you see what happens? These things hold us back. They pull us back from God. Many Christians are saved for years, and they're against the wall. They haven't moved one inch in growth, have they? You know, a lot of them. They're right there. I want to grow. I want to grow in grace. I want to grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, these things that happen cause us to know that the enemy is really in the body of Christ. Really in the body of Christ. The incest, the child abuse now, that's so prevalent. Incest is a closet demon. People don't want to talk about it when they've been abused or if they're illegitimate children. And Satan can hold them captive. for year after year. We've prayed for a lady once that was in her 70s that was abused by her brother when she was young. And she was afraid of men and never had married. And Patty and I had her in the nursery. She came in there and we prayed for her. And she came through to a... She never told anybody before. And when we prayed for her, that thing went out of her. And she was mightily delivered. We came out here and we were having a real Holy Ghost meeting in the afternoon. And she stood up and prophesied the most beautiful prophecy. Moving in the gifts of the Spirit because she had gotten freedom over that. That was things that tortured her all the time and tortured her mind. There's another thing that the occult does. Well, hypnotism will a doctor hypnotizing you will cause you to be depressed and have all kinds of problems. Yoga is another spirit that you don't need any yoga exercises, can walk, do something else, but don't take karate. That's also of the enemy. The what? Lamas. Having babies by Lamas. That's Eastern religion. That's mind control. And if you read Lamas's autobiography, for years I sought the Lord. I knew there was something wrong with Lamas, but I never heard of it in California. We had everything else. But when we came here, I kept hearing all these young spirit-filled women having babies were having them by Lamas. And I thought, what in the world is that?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.